Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, January 16th, 2020. The world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you, with you. If you get the machine, name, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number 620-878-4682. In an emergency, text me first. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply, prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, and it's on some FM, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base in places like Macedonia, Auckland, New Zealand, Bucharest, Romania, and, of course, cities in the United States such as Albuquerque, New Mexico, Henderson, Nevada, Baltimore, Michigan, and, of course, Wichita. You're up there at the top. More downloads to the podcast. When the programs go to podcast later tonight, I have no idea how to tell us how many people are listening while we're on live radio. Okay, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray you give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth, Father. Please help them to act on the truth, Father. In Yeshua's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, before I get into the program, I just had something that just came across and that I'm going to just give you a minute of it. President Trump marked Religious Freedom Day by empowering prayer in school. This just happened. New protections will require schools to certify that they have no rules conflicting with a student's right to pray and notify the Department of Education of complaints against the right to pray. This marked the first time the Department of Education has updated its guidance on school prayer since 2003. President Trump says, "Today my administration is issuing strong new guidance to protect religious liberty in our public schools. The right of students and teachers to freely exercise their faith will always be protected, including the right to pray." This was signed by President Trump. Folks, that's what the devil is so mad about. In this age, evil is manifesting itself more and more every day. We even had an actress say recently, the reason that she got a Golden Globe Award was because she had an abortion, the blood of her child. Everything in the Word that they are saying, everything that the Word says is evil or an abomination, they're now heralding it as a right and that it's truth and it's good and it's normal. Really, folks? These things are abominations. And so spiritual warfare is really, really here. The devil is among us. His minions are among us. We have to fight back. How do we do that? Well, tonight I think that's what Tom's going to talk about. We have back on with us Tom Mack. He's principal of White Cotties Publishing Company, a publisher. He's a publisher turning manuscripts into books. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's an A-plus certified computer technician, a net certified network technician, a book designer, web designer, webmaster of several websites, In the past, he was also an airport administrator, IT manager, and company controller. He's taught college at two institutions of higher level learning. He's also a tax specialist. Anyway, he is one of the pioneers of the Bible Codes movement, and he's been researching Bible Codes since 1996. Welcome now, Tom. Are you on with me?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Yeah, you're coming in clear. So, am I right? I know you're aware, but evil is manifesting itself right now in so many different ways. And it's getting harder and harder. Everything that seems to be abominations are now saying are good. Those just didn't come by the human mind dreaming them up. This is evil. What do you think?
Definitely. You have to understand, we're coming close to the end. And when you get close to the end, this is when the devil is going to fight his hardest. Because we need to go look at Revelation 12, 7 and 8 for a minute. Actually, we're going to look a few verses there. And what we learn in Revelation 12, 7 through 8, is that there was a war in heaven. Don't know exactly the timing on it. We have some clues. But what we know, and what's important for us to know, is that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought with his angels, but they prevailed, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They were literally kicked out. And they do not like it. And their judgment, you have to understand, when evil is judged, it is judged so harshly. We saw it with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Suddenly this charming man was turned into a serpent that had to crawl on the ground and could no longer communicate. That's what happened. The devil here was cast out of heaven, and when they were cast out of heaven, they lost all their technology. They lost everything. And this is what they want back. And they're doing everything right now to get that back. And everything you see them doing today is designed to get them back their place in heaven. They aren't going to get it, but the delusion is there that, and I've heard it with evil spirits, they all say, the Bible's wrong, we're going to get back there. There's that much of a delusion. There is that much of a delusion in their thinking. And when you're deluded, rational thinking leaves. As much as they want to say, oh, we're so smart and we're so rational, when you see their actions, they're not rational. And just sort of as a sidelight, there is a way we can sort of get an idea of when this battle took place. We know of Job, and in Job 2:1, again, there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahuwah. And Satan came also among them to present himself before Yahuwah. So at that point, he was in heaven in Job 2:1. And Job, if you remember, he's first mentioned in Genesis 46:13 as one of the sons of Zebulun. So we have a point in history that we can point to when Satan was able to go before the throne. But it's interesting that if you look through the Torah, you will not see Satan named. In fact, he's not mentioned until the 359th chapter of the Bible, which was written after the Babylonian captivity. that's a long time to be blotted out. But he was. Because in ancient times, if you commit a heinous crime, for anyone else to mention your name, you get the same punishment as the person who committed the heinous crime. Because in ancient times, they were not going to glorify a criminal in any way, shape, or form. So, Satan is blotted out of the Bible until 1 Chronicles 21, when he suddenly is there to tempt David to number Israel. And so, but we're not done with this story a little bit. In Revelation 12:9, we get a real clue here. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so, what happens? They are stuck on the earth. They can't get out. Their technology's gone. So what do they got to do? They got to find their way back to heaven. And it's going to be a very, very long, long road. And they're going to have to rebuild everything because they lost everything.
Let me ask you a question. I've never heard anybody refer to it as they lost their technology. For some people, that might be a little confusing.
Well, for one thing, they lost their ability to go back in space.
Right. Right.
We don't, you know, except for a few odd little pictures here and there, we don't see too many UFOs in ancient times. We see that scene in Ezekiel, but that's very clearly explained to be something from Yahuwah. It's not something from the devil's side.
Right.
So we're looking at the devil losing everything, and I mean everything. Now they're stuck on the earth, and they've got to rebuild from the beginning. But also, by being sent to the earth, we don't want to miss this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Elohim and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night. Past tense, he's not doing it anymore, he did. But now he's stuck on the earth. And it's going to be finished one of these days. We're going to see the devil finally judged. But unfortunately, there's still quite a bit of time left. How much, I'm not going to try to guess. I've seen, in fact, somebody just put out a thing that the rapture is supposed to happen January 17th. I think not.
Really? That would be tomorrow. Oh, what? Did you say January?
Excuse me?
I said, did you say January 17th?
Yes, January 17th. It's a YouTube.
That would be tomorrow. Right. Yeah. And it's not to interrupt your chain of thought, but let's go with this. You said YouTube. I have witnessed to people recently, and they were telling me that these incredible things were going to happen, and one of them was incredible lies about Trump, but it didn't matter. The point is that I said, well, how do you know this to be a fact? They said, well, I saw it on YouTube, so I know it's the truth. Really? That's another grand deception. But anyway, yeah, back to you.
So what we have to understand is part of our salvation is the devil being cast to the earth because by him being here, our Heavenly Father, when the time comes, the day of the Lord, there's a lot of scriptures about that. I won't go into them tonight. But when that day comes, the devil will shiver, and he will shake, and he will be destroyed at that very moment. But for that to happen, our Heavenly Father had to put him in one place. He had to pin him down. So, and then I can't leave this scripture or leave this section without reading this last scripture.
Okay.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So, we're just in the middle of this. There's just so much in this chapter. The blood of the Lamb defeats the devil. The word of their testimony, which is the scripture. The scriptures defeat the devil. And also their willingness and our willingness to die for our faith. Why are we suddenly being told this now, just in the middle of this other discussion? But here's why. Because in Revelation 12:12, we're seeing that the devil has come down with great wrath, and he's going to do everything he can to destroy the creation Yahuwah has created for us. So, to get back where he is, he has to get technological upgrades, and it will not be easy. In fact, it's going to be very difficult, even though he has a certain amount of control over things. At first, he thought he needed to set up top-down dictatorships. First one, Egypt. And this was the first kingdom that really studied the sciences. They also understood and followed the stars. It was really the first organized kingdom. And of course, our friend Cain was very integral in getting Egypt stabilized, because Cain's sons built the first cities, and they traveled around the earth creating cities. And from Egypt, the second big kingdom the devil built was Babylon. They took the study of the stars, they took the study of the sciences, but they developed something that Egypt really didn't. They had a lot of trouble with, and in the end, Joseph had to fix Egypt. But, you know, they didn't recognize Joseph for very long. In fact, in some of their writings, he's called Imhotep, and he's considered a bad guy for what he did. I think he was brilliant personally, but apparently the Egyptians don't agree with me. But Babylon comes along. They invade Egypt, you know, in the end of the Second Kings and the end of Second Chronicles. We read about King Josiah interfering with the battles between Babylon and Egypt. Well, eventually Babylon conquered Egypt, and conquerors do what conquerors do. They destroy the gods, and they steal their technology. But they developed a complex economy based upon paper money backed by gold. Babylon was the first one to have banks. And banking's an interesting concept. And you didn't see it till you got to Babylon. But even Babylon started to stagnate. In fact, that's one of the troubles the devil has with these kingdoms. They do great for a while, but then they get happy with how they are, and they stagnate. And the third kingdom they built was Persia. actually still exists today. But they were the ones, because they wanted to reach past Babylon, they took everything Babylon had and enhanced it. But it wasn't long. In fact, it took about three generations before Persia was stagnating, happy with how they were. So suddenly we go to Greece. And Greece, what did they give us? They gave us Plato's Republic, which created a legislative body to placate the people, but created a benevolent dictator to actually rule the nations. However, to really sell it to the people later on, the devil would use the concept of the right of kings, which said that this king is ordained by God to rule the people. That comes from Greece. We always think about Greece and democracy. Well, no, they were more frequently a dictatorship, and the tyrants ruled. We get our word tyrant from the Greek. But then, instead of just being in one place, Alexander the Great took these political concepts and passed them out throughout most of the civilized world. And then one most people miss, because they want to go running off to Rome so quickly. But we need to look at Phoenicia, because the Phoenicians were the first ones to give us a world economy and to give us the ability to trade and to gather technologies from every place in the world. They were also the ones that distributed Abiathar's false religion. And there's two cities that we need to pay attention to in this. Tyre, which is where Abiathar went when Solomon kicked him out, and Carthage, which is the home of the great General Hannibal.
Okay, I got to break in. We're going to be going to break in about 30 seconds. Tell them where to find you, and then we will come back and talk.
Okay. My website is whitestonefoundation.org, whitecottagepublishing.com. There's others, but if you go to Whitestone Foundation, you can find the others.
Okay, that's great. Folks, also, when this goes out to podcast tonight, wherever you listen to it on podcast, there will also be links to several of his websites. And we'll be back in about 4 minutes and 20 seconds, I think it is.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Hey, America, time to wake up. Uncle Sam, he's a knowin', we're headed to civil war. So he's got his new world order, and knocking at our door. Well, I think that we've been taken, it sure seems that we've been reamed. But you tell us we're mistaken. That's not the way it seems. Don't you know that it's time to wake up? Hey America, aren't you fed up with the
Bible says that Jesus is God.
Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We are told that he is the image of the invisible God, and that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Bearing this in mind, let us consider the fact that it was Jesus who in 6 days created the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God, Elohim, Jesus, ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God, Elohim, Jesus, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work. Yes, it was Jesus who sanctified the Sabbath day at the time of creation, thousands of years before the commandments were given on Mount Sinai. It was Jesus on Mount Sinai who wrote the commandments in stone, and it was Jesus who laid down his life to pay the death penalty required for breaking the commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Size Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, folks. Well, we'll be back talking with Tom Mack in a minute, and we're talking about spiritual warfare in the 21st century, or close to it anyway, explaining the things that we need to know so we can succeed in this fight that is here and ongoing. But first, a minute about the Mission Church. You know, folks, the Mission Church is 60 miles away from where we live at, and it takes two vehicles. My wife goes one way and visits a couple of cities on the way to the Mission Church to pick up donations, and I go the other way to open, and so it takes two vehicles in which to do this. Well, her engine blew up in her vehicle, and it's going to take us a couple of months to round up enough money to put a new engine in it and so on and so forth. So we really need a backup vehicle for the Mission Church. I'm not asking for an extreme amount of money. $1,500 will get us a backup vehicle that we can use for a few months until we can get our truck fixed, because we clearly don't have the around, I don't know, starting at about $2,500 to about $4,000 to put an engine in our truck. So, folks, pray about it. Support the Wichita Mission Church. If you want to donate to this backup vehicle, then make sure you mark it backup vehicle. Otherwise, we really do need your help for everything else, for food and for paper products, all the things that make it work. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. We really do need your help. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order and give a donation over the telephone. You can find all the information you need at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. So pray about it, folks. And as far as the people go, people ask me, what do they need? People need what you need. You know, they're human beings. Right now, it's wintertime. We're dealing with colds and things. Yes, we have medications to give them over the counter right now, so that's a blessing. But we still need help with everything else. King James Bibles, large print, preferably. We need coats, those kind of things. We have lots of hats and some gloves, but we need some coats, blankets. We always need blankets. So, folks, pray about it. Support the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. And again, if you don't want to support the poor, then pray about supporting radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Oh, and we're also in we're really, really badly in need of an up-to-date laptop, so pray about that also. So now we're back visiting with Tom Mack. Are you there, Tom?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, you just take it back, take us back into it, wherever you want to start.
Okay. Well, you know, we've talked about five kingdoms that the devil built to get his technology back, and that's what we're looking at it from that perspective. There's a lot of information I've left out because, you know, we only have 46 minutes. So I'm trying to come up with this in 46 minutes. But when we get to the sixth kingdom, it's interesting the Bible predicts every one of these kingdoms and explains in detail what they do. And the Bible does it before they happen. So it's amazing that every time the devil does something, we've been warned about it, and we know. And what's nice, these things were kept for us, so we can go back and learn this history and learn how they did it, because the fact that they did this in the past doesn't mean we know it. So we have to study it. Well, the sixth kingdom that came around was Rome. Everybody has studied Rome in school. And, well, I shouldn't assume that, because a lot of newer curriculums are not necessarily covering Rome in that much detail, and that's a shame if they don't. I would encourage people that if you don't get the proper education in school, there's still books, there's still internet websites, there's still places. And there are some really good historical studies on YouTube. We know YouTube has a lot of bad information, but there's also some really good things out there where you can study this history. And they actually do a really good job with it. Sometimes I don't like that they stick their politics in it and try to analyze history based upon their politics. But I'm afraid sometimes when I lay out history, I tend to stick in a bias or two of mine. So it's hard not to do it. But in the case of Rome, when they conquered Carthage and Tyre, they became a seafaring enterprise as well. And they were able, and just not that many years ago, when they were excavating in Rome, they started finding all this Chinese stuff in Rome. And they couldn't figure out what it was until they realized that Rome had diplomatic relations with China. And that was amazing. They had actually traveled that far. And unfortunately, when the barbarians conquered Rome, they destroyed much of what they had done so that we didn't know. And now we're just starting to find out just how much Rome really meant. But when Rome started to fall, the religion didn't. It became the Roman Catholic Church. So the devil this time, he knew the kingdom was going down because of degrading morals and dozens of other things. But in what happened is he realized that this time his technology was not getting where it needed to be. And just having one kingdom and putting all your eggs in one basket wasn't going to solve the problem. So in the early part of the Dark Ages, he tried a little experiment. He pitted Rome versus the Islamic, or pitted Europe against the Islamic world. And it actually suddenly technology actually started to increase, especially in the Islamic world. Much of the mathematics we use today came from the Islamic world. The numbers we write came from the Islamic world. And, in fact, modern accounting came from the Islamic world. And the Europeans started to assimilate these technologies when they did the Crusades, starting in the 11th century. And when they started being exposed to this Islamic world, they immediately brought much of what they learned back to Europe. They also brought back quite a bit of treasure, which meant that they could finance everything up to that point in time. So what happens? Europe, what worked by creating this Islamic versus Europe thing, actually increased the level of technology. And so the devil decided to do it again. And in Europe, he set up 10 royal families. And each one of these 10 royal families were all claimed that they descended from Solomon. Therefore, they had the divine right to rule. You know, the heck with the rest of these guys. We are divinely set up by God to rule. Of course, they didn't explain which God. They just said the divine right set up by God. Well, it's sort of, they're using a pronoun allows them to interchange a lot of things. But eventually, we'd see that reduced to seven. I'll explain that in a minute. But the royal families started to set up with Charlemagne. And in the end, we have 10 of them. The most famous one everybody knows about is the House of Windsor, which the King of England, or the Queen of England, is a Windsor. That's her surname. But there are others, too.
Let me butt in a second. You know, you mentioned by which God, and I want to just make clarification to the people. Folks, you know, when we talked to Pastor Carl on here, we got into a conversation about this, and you need to, if you're using a King James Bible or whatever, you really do need, when it comes to God, you need to look it up. You'll find that it talks about Elohim. It talks about other divine beings, not necessarily Yahweh. And it can be defined by looking up the original words of that, because it was these fallen angels that were actually placed over different areas of the world that ruled over these kingdoms. And so, so that's what it is. They're not really gods, but they're, you know, fallen divine beings. Back to you.
Well, we've had Satan called the god of this world.
Right.
So,
and but if you go back to the word, I'm just telling the folks, though, you can see the word God is different. If you go back and you look up the word God and see what it says, and it won't be the word God, trust me. Go look it up, folks, and you'll see that it's pluralistic. Yes, we've used the term gods. I'm just telling you folks that you can go and look it up and see that there is a difference. It's not talking about Yahweh. Back to you.
Okay. Here's another thing that for some of you that there's a sort of a hack for that, especially if you're using eSword, which is free, by the way.
Right.
There's a website called BibleSupport.com. And if you go there, you can download additional Bible versions. And one of the most interesting ones I saw on there is a restored name King James Version, where every time you see God, they take it back to what the original Hebrew said. Most of the time, God is Elohim. They differentiate that. And every time it's Yahuwah, they say so.
Right.
And instead of Christ, they use Messiah, which is more accurate.
And what's the name of that one? What's the name of that Bible?
It's called the Restored Name, King James Version.
Restored Name, King James Version. Well, the reason I'm asking is because I'm going to look for it.
I'll send you the file after the show.
Oh, that'd be cool. Thank you. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
And then all you got to do is put that file in the folder for eSword, and it'll show up.
Right.
I mean, there's just an amazing amount of resources on this BibleSupport.com.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. I have an eSword. I've never heard of this Bible Support. I
only came across it probably 3 or 4 months ago.
Really?
And I was shocked at all the resources there. And all the books that are there. But what happened is I started, I was doing all this going back and forth, hunting the Hebrew word, and suddenly now with this I don't have to do that. They do need to do a little editing on it, but it's good enough that I find it useful. And there's a lot of other versions there that are free, and that's the big thing about it. All this stuff on this website is free.
Right.
And
I pulled it up just a little bit that I'm glancing at. There's a lot of stuff over here. There's a lot of stuff. But folks, we'll put a link up to it later. Anyway, go right ahead and go on. Thank you.
Okay. So, what happens, the devil sets up 10 royal families, and he puts them literally in control of the world. By the 17th, 18th century, they are all over the world. They have colonies, and they're ruling. They say, we talked about the House of Windsor, and by extension, the United States, because, I'm sorry, Great Britain has a lot of influence over how we do things. But they also have a lot of influence in the Middle East and in Asia. For a long time, the House of Windsor controlled India. They controlled Singapore. They controlled Hong Kong. Almost every place of consequence financially, they controlled. And the next house in this is the House of Bourbon. And it's not the drink, it's a family. And they ruled France. The French kings were all from the House of Bourbon. And the House of Bernadotte rules Sweden. The House of Orange rules the Netherlands. And for a while it even ruled in England after the Glorious Revolution of 1688. The House of Savoy ruled Italy, sometimes Spain, Croatia, Albania, Ethiopia. And the House of Wettin ruled Belgium, Bulgaria, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, and a lot of Africa. But the most interesting houses are the four German houses. Habsburg, which ruled Austria, and the House of Hohenzollern, which is where Kaiser Wilhelm came from, the House of Cronenberg, and the House of Wittelsbach. Very, very powerful houses that control a lot of what goes on in Germany. And people don't realize that before 1870, Germany was about 40 different countries. But Bismarck brought them together, and he gave the power to Kaiser Wilhelm I. And they solidified it by destroying the House of Bourbon in the Franco-Prussian War in 1870.
Right.
But what they didn't realize is they were destroying the structure of the 10 royal families by doing it. So what we saw World War I come along. And when that happened, many of these houses fell. The German families fell. The French went back into a republic. And it wasn't much longer till the House of Savoy fell in Italy. And even the House of Windsor is only a constitutional monarchy. Basically, Parliament makes the rules, and the Queen goes around and christens car washes. But I can guarantee you they don't appreciate that. They still believe they have a divine right to rule. And that's what's deep down in everything they're trying to do right now. But we need to look at one scripture to see what's going to happen with this. Is we're going to see that these people have brought in a lot of technological upgrades by they're going to do technological competition,
right,
which makes better. We go to World War I, France and England create tanks for the first time. We see air warfare in World War I for the first time. The Zeppelin attacks in England are just some of the most horrible, horrible things that happened to poor innocent people who had nothing to do with the war any other way. And World War I was a nightmare. And when I was young, I remember talking to some of the old World War I vets, and some of the stories they told were horrific. I mean, we have nothing to complain about if we're World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Gulf War vets. They really had it bad.
Right.
But the other thing the seven royal families were able to do, and this is probably the most important thing, and I wish I had more time to cover it, is they were able to gather up the wealth of the world and centralize it into seven international banks. And then the banks fell under the control of the House of Rothschild. So suddenly, the devil was able to finance what he wanted to do. And the things he wanted to do is, number one, he needed to get back in the air, and he needed to return to the heavens. And one of the most interesting of their investments was in aerospace research. And they did that research in Sonora, California. And it was where they developed the first few flying machines we ever saw. When you see all these UFO reports in the 19th century about cigar-shaped aircraft, they came from Sonora, California. We wouldn't have known that, but a couple of guys found a whole bunch of the drawings from this project in a house in San Antonio, Texas. And they wrote a book called The Secrets of Delshow. And it's a fascinating book with lots of drawings. In fact, if you have one of those Delshow drawings, it's worth a lot of money. Put it up on eBay and you'll get thousands for one drawing. But the most interesting thing happened in Aurora, Texas on April 17, 1897. One of these cigar-shaped ships crashed. And they found it was made mostly of aluminum, but it was also made of some substances nobody never knew what they were. So they called them UFOs and figured they came from another whatever.
Somewhere.
But
you know,
really,
let me throw this in real quick. You know, I don't honestly know what all of them are, but they're definitely something different. And is this the 1800 something one that the town found the dead occupant and buried him?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when they went back to, and folks, when they went back to, the MUFON went back to, was going to, you know, what do you call it, exhume him. The gravestone was, they made the request to the city, and when they went to the next day or whatever, the gravestone was gone, and he had been exhumed, and they're not sure who did it, probably the government. But, yeah, I know that story. Back to you.
Well, not only that, later on, some people came there with some ground equipment, and they were able to find the grave. But when they made an exhumation request, suddenly the court said, no, no, no. Of course, getting exhumation requests are very hard to get anyway. So I can't say, oh, this is conspiracy. It's not. It's hard to get dig graves up once they're made. And
right.
You better have a very, very good reason before you go to court.
Right.
And just the fact that this was space aliens is not going to fly.
No.
And
but, you can see the recorded papers that talk about the incident. And, you know, this is one of the most best documented, you know, it's one of many documented ones. But out of the 1800s, they even had a funeral for this person or whatever it was that died. And it was clear, it was even out in the newspaper. But we'll not know, I don't think. But hey, listen, we ran out of time. Why don't you tell them where we can find us? I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is continue with the technology next time you have me on.
Okay. Well, tell the folks where they can find you, and we'll say goodbye. I got to go.
Okay. You can find me on WhiteStoneFoundation.org, WhiteCottagePublishing.com, BibleCodes.co for Colorado, and there are a number of other websites. We'll keep going on this.
All right, all right. Well, you be blessed, and we'll talk again, and I'll put those websites out. All right, be blessed. Bye-bye, brother.
Well, okay, folks, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right, goodbye and shalom. Well, folks, that was Tom Matt. I'll put out the websites, but we must remember, folks, that there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.